Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
If you enjoy our original content, please consider becoming a supporter on Anchor so that we can continue to bring you laughs every week.
The following program may contain immature situations, themes, and is intended for an adult audience. The opinions expressed here do not necessarily reflect the views of everyone else working on the show. Viewer discretion is advised. Hey, welcome guys to the Danny McDermott Show. I hope you guys are all doing well today. I'm very excited. You'll notice that I don't have my blue screen today because I am in John Lennon's old mansion. One of my friends is a producer. Well, I got a few producer friends, but he stays here and he lets me stay here when I'm in LA. So I am here. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm excited, Danny.
Good. You don't sound it.
I'm saving that for later.
All right, guys. So there's a lot of I'm very excited. This is a very big night. We've got some great guests tonight. We're going to go to our national days. We have, believe it or not, it's International Nurses Day, which is a holiday to celebrate our nurses who are now on the front line and deserve more praise than almost anyone right now. Unlike International Sexy Nurses Day, which is Halloween. It's also Limerick Day, where any man from Nantucket finds it impossible to live up to the hype because he can't suck it. It's also a National American Rights Day. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you can say can be and will be used against you by your significant other.
Danny.
Yes.
It's Native American Rights Day.
Oh, thank you. Well, that makes more sense. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. that's why I love this show. It's so improv. Also, donate a day's wages to charity. And Charity is the best dancer at the Go-Go Club that I hang out at. And she's shooting for more than a day's pay, let me tell you. Yeah, she dances for a lot of people, but I'm special. I make her feel like no one else does. I mean, after all, you can tell she actually likes me. I hate that she has to lie to all these other guys, you know, but I can't even believe they fall for it. It's gonna break their hearts when she and I run off together. Yeah, she wants me. Look at her giving me the eye. I am sexy. I didn't know that you recorded me at the club, Kevin. And how did you get my brain, my thoughts? How did you do that? No answer? No answer? You always have a retort, Kevin.
It's
you always have.
It's the animal mind reading technology turned evil.
There you go.
It's the party animal mind reading technology.
Oh, I like it. That's perfect. Now we got to do that. We got to start doing a new segment on that. It's also National Night Shift Workers Day. Second Wednesday. It's every second Wednesday. Is that what it is?
Apparently. They have no idea what day it is.
And it's also National Third Shift Workers Day. Why would they do that on the same day? See, now some of these workers are double dipping on the holidays.
It seems unreasonable.
Right? It's also National Nutty Fudge Day. I don't know. Does anybody actually like fudge? I mean, you like it, but you don't. It's not something that you eat a lot. It's like it's enticing, but the fudge is never the kind of thing you miss when it's gone. You know, it's the perfect food when you're on a diet. No one binges fudge, is what I'm saying, Kevin. To the point of self-hatred or setting your diet back more than 10 minutes.
That's true.
Yeah, right? Speaking of which, it's odometer day. Sometimes a setback can offer value. Like Botox for Buicks. It's also receptionist day, where they greet, neglect, offer a drink, repeat. They're also the gatekeepers. This would be one of the greatest positions in the world if it were entirely dedicated to your cell phone signal, Wi-Fi connection, and processing speed. She gives great reception. No? Not a lot. Kevin, you wrote that joke. You're not even going to laugh at it?
I laughed when I wrote it.
That should be
a sentence. I got it out of my system.
She gives great reception. Should be a sign that she makes more money during the day than she used to dancing at night. It's also there. You laugh at that one. Okay.
I did.
It's also school nurse day. Just so late night workers aren't the only ones that are double dipping on holidays.
Well, there you go.
That's the worst joke to end on, but that's okay.
It's good.
It's good. It's all right. All right. So now I'm excited because we've got a very important guest. We've done comedy together a few times, and she's done a lot of different stuff. As a professional comedian, she headlines all over the country and appears regularly at Flapper's Comedy Club in L.A., the Comedy Store, and the Laugh Factory, all in L.A. Please welcome Mary Kennedy.
Hi, everybody. Hey,
welcome.
Hey, Kevin. How are you guys?
Hey, how are you?
Mary, thank you for coming on.
Why'd you say hi to Kevin first?
She likes me better.
Because I'm looking left to right. That's why. It's, you know, I don't have my glasses on.
I don't know how Kevin got the left position. I think that he's jockeying for a position in my show here.
I'm Susanna's favorite too. It's just
I could do hi Danny. Hi Kevin. How's that?
Right? That's how you should do it. Yeah. I got top billing here.
It isn't called the Kevin Fitz show. It's called the Danny McCormick show. I know. All right. There it is.
But I'm headlining the Hellos.
What's that, Kevin?
I'm headlining the Hellos.
Oh, I thought you said you were headlining at Lowe's.
No, but I'm willing to. Over by the plungers.
He's been plunged a few times for a bad set.
Oh, okay. That sounds dangerous. That sounds a little scary.
And creepy.
Oh, man. So it's good to see you.
Yes, you too.
It's been a while. I think it was John Lovett's Club was the last time I saw you.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
My kids are in high school now. I think when you saw me at Lovett's, they were tiny, tiny.
Really?
Yeah. Now my kids are 12 and 14, and I've been trapped with them for over a year. Help! Anyway, so I'm glad to be, you know, feeling like I'm somewhere else. This is not my living room, if anyone. They'll be like, wow, she did really well on Shameless. Yeah, no, this is a backdrop.
Well, at least you're not trapped with Kevin for all these months.
you'd have taken up drinking.
Yeah, so.
But kids do that too, Kevin.
Yeah.
So you're Boston native.
Yes.
What was it? Now, did you start doing comedy there?
Well, it's interesting. I always get that question. I actually started in New York City, and that's where I got my start. And so I started in New York, and then I was there for, you know, I was in New York for 6 years, but 3 years in New York, I started stand up. So I did stand up for 3 years in New York, and then I moved to LA. So, and when I was in LA, I booked the Boston Comedy Festival, and everyone assumed that I was a Boston comic.
What's the guy who runs that gym?
Jim McHugh.
Yeah. Jim McHugh. Yeah. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's great. And Carol Montgomery was the host for the women's show. And so Carol Montgomery and I worked in New York together, and she's been out to LA, and I've got to work with her on her live show, Funny Women of a Certain Age. So it's a full circle, full circle.
Who else was on that show?
For what?
The Funny Women of a Certain Age.
Well, I did the live show. I didn't do the Showtime special, but the Showtime special was Lynn Coplitz, Lunell, Julia Scotti, you know, Carrie Louise, you know, all the faves.
We just had Carrie on the show.
Yeah.
About a month ago, I think.
Carol Montgomery, you know, Fran Drescher, you know, I'm just throwing a few names out there, you know.
Name dropper. Yeah. No, that's the whole point of the show. We got a name drop.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me see. I want to, before I get into the big stuff, I mean, huge, huge stuff. I want to talk about your one woman show, because I did a one man show.
Yeah, I remember that. Attack.
Now yours is called Midlife Mood Swing. Let's talk about that a little bit.
So when I was a kid I live 20 minutes north of Boston in Marblehead. So like imagine, like I'm in the suburbs, but you know, I went to college in Boston, and my mom growing up, when my parents got divorced, she started a band, and the band was called the Mood Swings. And so my mom basically started a band in midlife. And so that is the name of my show.
That's funny awesome. Because I had a band called Hot Flashes.
Did you really?
No.
That's what theirs are. Now that they're in their 60s, they're the Hot Flashes. But yeah, no. So my mom had this band.
Kind of like the Spice Girls are Old Spice.
Yeah, exactly. Old Spice, yeah. Or Irish Spring. I'm not sure. But anyway, but my mom had this band. And so the one-woman show is about her having this band and me being her roadie at 16.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So now, it's a great show.
So you sing?
I sing a little bit in the show. I did. I was a backup singer for her. She always thought I was the one that was flat, but it wasn't me. I was a backup singer for her. My mom was also a church organist, so I sang in her choir. It was a crazy, crazy childhood, because one night, you know, we'd have a gig the night before on a Saturday night. And here I am 16, by the way, playing 30. Because I was also their manager. Like, I pretend I was their manager. And then Sunday morning, we'd have to be up bright and early to go to the church. And she'd be on the organ at 9 a.m. So
Are you sure that wasn't the Partridge Family?
It's close. It's really close. Except it was my brother and I and my grandmother. So, and the dog. So,
dog was in the show?
No, the dog was in the show. And she drove a celebrity wagon, not the huge bus.
You better not tell Tom Cotter if there was a dog in the show.
Okay, yeah, no, I shouldn't do that. But no, he lost
to a dog act on America's Got Talent.
I know. so it was fun. So that was my childhood. And so that's why I started stand-up, obviously, because, you know, I had to do something. You know, all the stuff I saw, you know.
Was that before the acting? Did you start out as an actor, or was comedy first?
My mom, who was playing in our church folk group when I was little, my mom dragged me to my first audition when I was 5, and I ended up getting the gig. And my dad was an insurance broker, and he didn't understand it at all. So my mother would like sneak me to auditions. And so I started acting at 5, professionally at 14. I booked a paid gig when I was 14, but I was in Boston. I wasn't in LA. So I did a lot of theater.
I love theater. I love it. Do you miss it? I miss it.
You know, it's interesting. I run the Biz Studio and Youth Acting Biz. We had to go all Zoom when COVID hit, but we had a really nice theater in the NoHo Arts District. So I got to teach every week in a theater.
Oh, wow.
And I got to do my one woman show in a theater. So I had my hand in it. I do miss it. I'm so excited that I'm starting to perform live again, because I love doing stand up on a stage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's not the same online.
No.
You know what I mean?
I'm grateful for it. I don't think if I worked this year, like I did, I don't think I'd be as good right now, because it's a whole year to really work on a TV set. But yeah. I miss the audience. I did my first, like one of my first live shows. It was my second live show. I did the Jimmy Shin show in LA, the Shindig show, and Daryl Hammond and Jamie Kennedy were on it. And I mean, it was a full house. It was amazing.
Oh, I love Daryl. He's when I was in my early 20s, I used to hang out on the set of Saturday Night Live, and he always remembered me after that when I saw him out at the clubs and stuff.
Yeah, he's so nice. They both are. I mean, it was just a joy. And so, you know, and to have a full house was amazing. It was outside, but it was like, you know, it was great. So,
yeah, full house is always easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, yes, it is.
Right? Right? It's so much easier, especially when you got the smaller house, but they're all scattered all around. They're not even sat close to each other. It's like horrible. Right.
Yeah. So we're getting back. I mean, you know, I have friends who are on Broadway and off Broadway, and they've been dark forever. And, you know, my hope is everybody starts coming back. But I think, you know, it's where it all started for me. When I moved out to LA, though, I had to go to film school and learn how to act for television and film. It's a whole other muscle. It's not the same muscle as my theater or my comedy muscle.
No, 100%. Theater, you have to be the character for the entire hour and a half, 2 hours of the play if you're the lead.
Right.
And if you're the lead in the film, you don't even have to know your lines.
Well, these self-tape auditions, though, I've done a ton of self-tape auditions, and you have to be memorized now. You can't
hold really?
The script in the self-tape. Nope.
Really? Is that what they tell you now?
Yeah, you can't. So I've been like,
Kevin, why didn't you tell me, Kevin?
I've been saving it for a surprise, Danny.
Well, thanks. Well, I went through about 10 of these self-tapes. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that.
Surprise.
I'm like reading the thing right here.
Yeah, no. So I've been working on my memorization. I've got to audition for a lot of cool things, but everything sort of goes into the abyss. Like, I've auditioned for like every show in town, and you know, I'm just sitting here waiting in my house.
Yep. Well, it's better than trying to find a parking spot and running to the audition, though. I got to say that.
Yeah. Sometimes I park in the Petco. Everybody knows where that audition is. And I'll pretend I'm getting a dog bone for my dog. Oh, you know. So.
Right.
Yeah.
You go in, they see you shopping, you wave to the camera, and then you sneak out the back door.
Yeah. Or I take my Ralph's bag out of the back of my, you know, trunk, and I carry it like I just left. Like, oh,
right,
I got it.
Right.
These are the tricks of LA, or, you know. I mean, it's the things that you do. So in a way, I'm glad about that. But I think not being in the room with casting, I think it's better to be in 3D. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult when you don't have someone. And the other thing, self-tapes, they can't say, okay, try this and do something different. You know what I mean? You just send a self-tape and they're like, not at all what I was looking for. And you don't get a chance to redo it. And so, yeah, nothing you can do about it. I would much rather be in person for an audition. So,
yeah.
Now what's Afterglow, the 80s musical experience?
So, I did the Vagina Monologues. I was in that show, Sheena Metal directed, and the Glow Girls, the original Glow Girls, were in the show as well. The Vagina Monologues are a bunch of monologues, written by Eve Ensler. And so I was a total fan of theirs. And I met them at the show, and then they were a total fan of me on Shameless. And so, a sort of marriage happened, and I ended up playing Jackie Stallone in a musical that Roxy Astor, who is one of the original Glow Girls, wrote. And, I played Jackie Stallone, and we were up for Broadway World nominations. I was up for Best Actress. And then we finally this year won Best Ensemble.
Wow.
And Chris Carver, who won.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I had my blonde hair went away, and I had a brunette wig, and she had like lipstick like out like this. And I had, you know, I was Jackie Stallone, and I talked like this. And,
So like Kevin when he wakes up after a hangover.
Yeah, I talk like this. Yeah, that's how it was. But it was great fun. And, you know, Dan Magnus, who is a 2-time world kickboxing champion, was our choreographer. He dates Roxy, by the way, but he trains people how to wrestle and do martial arts. And he was our fight coordinator. And he was up for also a Broadway nomination, as well as Roxy for costumes and for Best Actress. So the fact that I got to work with, you know, when I was 16, I remember watching GLOW on television on Saturday mornings, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. That was really,
that's, yeah, it's, it was a great show. That's amazing. You guys got together. That's cool. Yeah. Now you got into, let's talk about Shameless. I got to hear about this. So how did you become the new Fiona? How did that happen?
Well, if you go back to 2005, yeah, 2005, you'll see a character named Officer Trudy Lang, and I played her on ER for 2 episodes.
Okay.
Well, the same casting director, John Levy, who I owe much of my career to, cast me in Shameless. He an audition went out like everything, and my agent, the Happen Agency, saw it, and they have this picture of me where I look like this tough chick, and which I can be tough. I'm from Boston. And they submitted it, and I was called in for it, and the role was an out-of-work prostitute who works for food. and they said in the, you know, when you
guys, that was Kevin's previous job before signed
previous
up.
You said.
Well, and you know, they have a breakdown of what the audition is, and so in the audition they were really clear about, you know, we want prostitutes who look like they've let themselves go. We don't want high class call girls. And you know, I'm from Boston, and my college, Emerson College, part of the campus is in the combat zone, which, you know, Boston prostitutes have to dress warmly. They're not like, they're not, you know, in fishnet stockings all the time. I mean, they're sturdy girls, right? And so I thought, you know what? Like, that's who I should dress like. And so,
you want to do it a lot.
Exactly. You want to do it a lot. I got to go to Kelly's Roast Beef. I'm hungry. But your friend, Paul Jacek, who, you know,
I love Paul.
Yeah. Paul looked at my costume choices. I sent him some pictures, and he picked this outfit where I literally was like wearing a tank top and like a leather jacket over it and a skirt and like some like boots. And I went to the audition like that. And, you know, all the other ladies that came to the audition were dressed like high class call girls. And the director, Ian McDonald, who's now the director, the show's over now, but he was the head of production. And then he executive producer. He directed that episode, and he said, as soon as you walked in the room, we knew it was you. And, you know,
wow,
they knew it was me because I embodied her. I was very like, you know, and, you know, they gave me a lot of stuff to do on set. Like, I was recurring for 6 episodes. The director of photography, the camera, they loved my facial expressions. So they loved using that as transitions. So,
oh, nice.
It was really great. And Bill Macy is nice and fabulous, as everybody says he is. And I got to work with everybody for 6 weeks. I mean, I got to work with the main cast. It was so much fun.
And that's how you afforded your green screen apartment.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, the grand piano in the back. Yeah, that's what it was right now. But yeah, no, I mean, it was a dream come true. And then my agent got contacted and said, we want to use clips from her episodes for the Shameless Hall of Fame for 2 episodes. You know, would she be willing to do that? And I was like, yes. So I was seen in the final season. So, I mean, they couldn't bring us back because of COVID, but it was, you know, it was lovely to be. You know, it gave me some nice closure. I mean, I was really sad when that show ended.
Oh, I know. What a great show. That was originally a British show, right?
Originally a British show. And then John Wells created it for television out here. And he also did ER. And, you know, I mean, so, you know, when they say to actors, you know, you may not get the role or you may not get that big role right away, but you're still remembered. That's totally true. I mean, who would have thought 2 episodes as a cop would get me as an out of work prostitute? I mean, you know, they're very good to me. I mean, if they see something that's right, they'll call me in.
Yeah. Well, there's a fine line between a cop and a prostitute. Like, razor fine. Because if they weren't a cop, they would be a prostitute. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. So, but it, you know, it's been a ride, and now, you know, I go out for a lot more leads. I go out for, you know, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, I had 9 auditions this week in 8 days.
Yes, I want your agent, please. Thank you.
She's great. We're just waiting for it, though. It's like, you know, I've done some independent.
You don't have to be threatened. I'm not your type. they're not going to put us out on the same auditions.
Yeah.
Except maybe the prostitute one.
Well, yeah, the high class prostitute.
Yeah, you're the high class. You'll be the high class prostitute. Yeah, no, they're great. But you know, the thing is it helps when you have a team. I mean, now I have a team, which, you know, I never would have thought I'd say that, but they all get me. Like, I'm with SK Management and she gets me. Like, they understand who I am. Like, there's no question. Like, and they'll send me stuff. Like, I had an audition to play like a really nice mom. Like, I like living in the gritty. Like, I like the out-of-work prostitute roles.
Right.
I like playing those. But, you know, there's sometimes when they just want you to be a fun mom. And a funny story, when I was on set in Chicago for Shameless, you know, we'd go back to the hotel at night, and I'd be dressed like you see me now. And the producers and the directors and the actors had no idea who I was. I go, really? So I'm working with you today. And they're like, who are you? I go, new Fiona. They're like, you look like you're in the PTA. I go, well, I am. You know, because I was clothed. Like, I wasn't wearing a bra. And, like, you know what I mean? I was wearing a bra, but I wasn't wearing my costume, you know?
So, yeah.
So.
Wow, that's some cool stuff. Now, you got a show you're promoting right now. What is the show you're working on right now?
The stand-up show, yeah. So, basically, everybody, you know, I am doing my first Vegas show, everybody, that I'm headlining. I'm going to Vegas, baby. And I will be at a Pizza Melody, which is a lovely. What I love about Vegas is you can have a pizza joint that's also a cabaret place. Like, it's, you know, it's Kelly Lee Williams is the producer. He's also our amazing MC. And Paul Jasek will be my feature. And I'll be headlining on June 25th and 26th at a Pizza Medley. You can get tickets. It's on Eventbrite. If you contact me on the socials at M Kennedy Comedy, I'll let you know how to get tickets. And it's going to be really fun. And I'm going to bring my merch. I'm going to have Shameless t-shirts there. And, oh, it's Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y. But that's okay. Add a G, like the president.
That's a quick fix.
Yeah, M. Kennedy Comedy. And, so that's my first Vegas gig.
There you go.
That's it. So I'll be in Vegas. And with Paul, who's, like, my bestie. Like, I can't wait. It's like.
I know. You guys have been How long have you guys known each other now?
We've known each other. See, I've been married 18 years. 17 years.
Wow. Not to Paul. You're not married to Paul.
No, I know. Everyone thinks we're married. No, so I've known him like 17 years, I think. Or maybe, no. You know what? He was doing a comedy show when I walked down the aisle with my husband, Charles. So we've known each other. Do I dare say 19 years? I think 19 years.
Wait a minute. He was doing a comedy show at your wedding while you were walking down the aisle?
No. He was doing a comedy show in Long Beach while I was walking down the aisle. He took the show over for me. I said, could you please run this while I'm getting married? And he still hates that he wasn't at my wedding. But
So you were basically both competing for audience.
For stage time, yeah.
No, I mean for your wedding. He was trying to steal your wedding guests for his show.
Yeah, exactly.
His
thunder. But, you know, he helped raise my kids. I mean, he was our nanny for a while.
Oh, wow.
He's
a good guy, for sure.
Ironically, every wedding is a bringer.
Every wedding is a bringer. And so basically.
And every comedy show is like a destination wedding.
Exactly.
Trying to bring your friends.
Exactly. Come on. It's okay. You guys will love you'll love it. So it's been a ride. And we're going to Vegas. And I've been to Dirty Vegas. If you guys don't know what Dirty Vegas is, it's Laughlin. So I worked in Laughlin. And now I'm going to be here. I'm sorry to the Laughlin residents, but when it's dark out, it looks kind of like Vegas. When it's light out, it's Dirty Vegas. But I don't know.
Well, that's amazing. I'm so happy your career is going well.
Thank you.
And feel free to pop back in for the segment Ask Anthony, which will be at the end.
Okay.
If you want to hang out, you can hang out in the green room, and then we'll bring you back in. And guys, we're going to have all her links and everything in the description of the video and all the other platforms, I guess, right?
And we're going to spell it right, too.
Yes.
It's fine. Listen, I did a gig where they called me Mary Candy. and they spelled it M-A-R-R-Y. So it's fine. Yeah. Everybody, Merry Candy, everyone.
All right, Merry Candy.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you in a minute.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. Oh,
she's great, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Yes, she
all
is.
Right.
Very funny.
So our next guest is a very good friend of mine. We became close. We met here in L.A. He's a producer of the new movie Time Crafters, The Treasure of Pirate's Cove, coming out Friday in 2 days. In 2 days. Nice. May 14th, 2021. And this is a first for this show, Kevin. I have him in the studio.
Oh, nice.
He's here with me. Come on in, buddy.
All
please
right.
Welcome Craig Albrecht.
Hey.
Here
what's
he comes.
Happening?
What's up, bud?
All right.
Hi, hey.
Everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Shift it toward you. There we go. There we
all
go.
All right. How's everybody doing?
It's so weird looking at the guest instead of looking at the screen. I'm gonna look at the screen anyway, even though it's awkward.
Right. Well, you know, when you when you look at me personally, I look sexier, don't I?
I'm gonna move over.
Look at the screen and communicate with elbows.
Well,
what?
Yeah, like elbow each other. Hey,
I'm excited to be here, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for
buddy.
Yeah, well, you've been good to me. We've been working on some movie projects.
We got a couple things in the hopper that's looking good. We met with a major director today who wants to come on board of this project. I can't tell you what it is yet, but you guys will know soon. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. So now let's talk about where you're from and how you got your start.
Yeah. So I grew up in Nebraska. I grew up in a small town called Fairfield, Nebraska. And, you know, I came out here in 95, like a lot of people. I just packed up, got in the car and came to Hollywood after my dreams. And, you know, it didn't happen overnight, but through perseverance and persistence, anything's possible. And, you know, I got to know people and network and meet the right people. And you know what? And I'm still out on that one, but anyway, no. You know, and just, meet people. It's all about networking and getting your next gig. And I started out as an actor, did some bit parts and then, started exec producing like back in 2005.
You're actually in, we'll talk about that in a minute because we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
I want to say this business is hard and you've gotten to a point where you're actually becoming a big producer. You are a big producer. And
I don't know about that.
It's finally happening, in a big way. And how did you persevere? What it's a struggle.
Well, you know, that's one thing I learned right away. It's like, whether you're an actor or a writer or a director or producer, when you're first starting out, you have to have a job, a second job. People you just can't go after it on your own. You have to get to supplement your income. And so I was literally a private driver for people. And as I was working my way up and, you know, and got to know a lot of people private driving, but also from that, then I was able to break off, you know, about 15 years ago to what I'm doing now. But,
what was your first big break?
It was Senior Skip Day. I helped exec produce that with the legendary George Gello, who directed comedy. It was like a, you know, just a kids comedy type thing. But that's where I got my big break.
That's awesome. That must have been a moment for you.
Yeah, I got to work with Larry Miller, Tara Reid, Leah Thompson, Clint Howard.
Wow.
Yeah, and Norm MacDonald. That's the adult. So it was like a lot of comedy.
I hung out with Norm when I was hanging out on a set of SNL.
Yeah, he told me a lot about that. He asked
me to write him jokes.
He told me he asked me to leave a lot of times too. Anyway.
Oh man, yeah, no, it was that's cool, man. So did you hang out with him at all?
No, Danny, I'm not like you. I don't get creepy. Okay.
As you can see, we've known each other for a while now.
Yeah.
Okay. let's talk about which movie you want to talk about first.
Well, I really just want to talk about Time Crafters right now. Okay. For a second, you know, it takes a village to make magic happen. And our team is so excited about Friday night. We've worked so hard to get to Friday night to promote. I mean, I just want to give some shout outs that are due. My publicist is Katie Tua, and she's amazing. And she's phenomenal. Without her, this could not be where it's at promotional wise with her team. So Friday night, this last Friday night, we had the world premiere of our music video.
That was fun.
That we did. And she put that all together with her team. And B&B Records is the one that presented it. Peanut, who owns that, we call him Peanut, who owns B&B Records. Shout out to him. Shout out to Butter. But most of all, I want to give a shout out to I want to give a shout out to Brooklyn Queen, JoJo Tua, and Azar Lawrence, who were the artists in this music video.
It was
just phenomenal. I mean, real quick, it's like Azar Lawrence is a legend saxophonist. He's like the Ray Charles of our time right now. He's played with everybody from McCoy Tyner to just everybody, and he's such a phenomenal guy, and it's an honor to know him. And I met him through my good friend Tracy Hanna, who's his manager, okay, and they have Trazar Records. But Tracy's also an exec producer on my pirate movie, so it just all intertwined. So they performed it live, and it was phenomenal. If you guys want to see Back in Time, it's on iTunes. You can check it out there. And it's just a great little collaboration. And then, of course, my good friend David Morris, DavidMorrisMovies.com. He's the one that directed it and edited it and did a phenomenal job.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm really excited. And it was funny because you mentioned Azar.
Yeah.
And it was funny because he introduced me to Tracy, and we got to talking. And when I was in my early 20s, I was managing a jazz club called Sweet Basil, which if any of you were in New York, I'm not going to say when, I don't want to date myself. Actually, I do. I'm pretty hot. But anyway,
there we go again. Norm MacDonald said you'd be doing this a lot.
It was a great jazz club, and Azar would play there. And now, just to let you know the level of this jazz club, anybody who knows jazz, we had Tito Puentes hanging out there. We had Chick Corea, who just passed on. God bless.
Right.
We had, I had shots with Pat Metheny. Pat Metheny was in there a few times. He's a legend. And I almost didn't let George Benson in the door. Because when I first started, I didn't know. He's like, right. You got to be very serious about who you let in the door.
Right.
And so this guy comes up. I don't know what George Benson looks like, right? And he tries to step around me, and I go like that, and I move in front of him, and he looks at me. He's like, I'd like to get in. And I go, I go, no problem, sir. There's a $20 cover and 2-drink minimum. And he goes, I think I'm on the guest list, like that. And I look at him, and I go, he's not leaving. It's okay.
I'm not leaving. Sorry.
You walk the guest.
I look at him. He looks at me. I think I'm on the guest list. And I go, okay, all right, no problem. I got the guest list in my hand. I go, what's your name? He goes, George Benson. I'm like, George Benson. I'm looking on the list. I'm saying it out loud. I hear behind me, the guy who owned the place at the time was from Taiwan.
Right.
And he's running out of the bathroom, tucking in his shirt, screaming, hey, Joe Benson, let him in, let him in.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Talented guitarist too, George Benson.
Well, that's the thing. He's a legendary. A lot of people don't realize he's a legendary jazz guitarist. People who don't know jazz, because he was famous for all his songs that he sang in the 80s, I think, right?
Yep. He's got a video of himself roller skating and playing a guitar on Give Me the Night, which might be his biggest crossover hit. But
right. What a great song that was.
Talented man.
Want to talk a little bit more about Azar. So to follow Azar and his tour and all this, go to azarlawrence.com. Again, azarlawrence.com. The guy's phenomenal. I mean, when they played this live the other night, at the premiere, and Azar started doing his thing, the young kids, the influencers, the young kids just went bananas. They just loved that sound. They loved him. you know, and it really is. What happened Friday night was jazz met hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jazz met hip hop Friday night with Azar.
It was so cool, man.
Yeah. So a little bit more about, talk about my movie.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about Azar and the other night, because we got to talk about personal stuff too.
Right.
Azar, the other day, he was here at the mansion, and he was just playing by himself, and we're all just sick. I mean,
it's sick. It's sick, people.
Oh my,
it's sick.
God,
okay.
If you haven't seen a real, true jazz musician just playing for the love of playing,
yep,
in front of a small group of people, oh my God, you got. I wish. You know, I should have gotten that video from that I put on Facebook on there, but it was epic, and it was just like, it brought, literally there were seven producers here, and everybody was just blown away.
Yeah,
and he was doing this riff in the room where John Lennon wrote Imagine.
Yeah.
And so we're standing
there. That's
where
he truly wrote it, yeah.
And we're standing there. We're just watching him play. It's not like any other performers. It's like he loves it so much that he enters into the, you know, improv, and he's just he's there. He's in the music.
Well,
the jazz riff is really one of the great, great musical things that you can experience, because it is where you just go at that moment and you let it really take you where it takes you.
Yeah.
And it's a magical moment when it clicks.
Yeah. And so a little, you know, like I said, the music video, you get it on iTunes. It's phenomenal. So yeah, a little bit more about Time Crafter. So it really does, like I said, it takes a village to make magic happen. And our team could not be more excited about Friday night. I mean, I want to talk about my producing partner and director, Rick Spalla.
Great guy.
He directed a great movie, but he also does magic when it comes to editing too. So that combination is why our movie looks so good and feels so good and all that. I want to talk about the cast.
Can he edit my acting reel?
No. No. Danny, he could if there was something there.
Anyway. He said he was good.
But so I want to talk about the cast. We were very fortunate to get a great cast. And I want to talk about the adults first. I want to talk about Denise Richards, who we're very thankful that she's a part of this. We're so thankful that she's out promoting our movie. She was on Entertainment Live last night. Friday, she's going to be on Live with Kelly and Ryan at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're so thankful for that. And then next on Monday, she's going to be on The Talk on Monday here in Los Angeles promoting it. So Denise, we really appreciate it very much. And she just did such a great job as playing the mom. I also want to talk about my good buddy, Lou Temple.
All right.
This guy just is acting all the time because he's such a great man. Just such a great man. And so he played the professor. He did a phenomenal job.
Then can we talk about the plot?
No, not right now. Okay. Just be quiet.
Guide you. I'm not host.
No, I know. I know.
And then we have Patrick. Very generous with his praise, Danny. And then then he discusses you.
then we have Patrick Muldoon, who did an amazing job. Eric Balfour always comes with it. I mean, he's just a phenomenal actor. And then, the legendary Malcolm McDowell.
Oh my God.
Playing Captain Lynch. I mean, it doesn't get any better for this family movie. And then I also want to talk about the kids that we casted. What we did is we got really fortunate and casted some great kids that had some major talent. Lucas J plays Chip. He did a great job. We have McKinley Blum that played Bridget, and she really delivered. She kept the whole team together. She kept the kids together in the movie, and she did a fantastic job. And of course, Casey Simpson played Josh. Casey's a veteran. He's been acting for a long time.
He was in the war.
And then we have Gavin McGinnis, who played Byron. Gavin is a phenomenal actor. You guys got to look him up. He's a great actor, and he just really did a great job. And then the one and only Connor Kane played Hedge. This kid has got more talent, and he's busy all the time. So, yeah, I just can't say enough about our cast that did such a phenomenal.
All right. So we have a technical glitch, but I'm sure they'll be back momentarily. Mary,
hi.
It's nice to have you back on as a surprise guest. This is a surprise to me, too. But
you
that's
know what?
Okay.
It was great. I loved listening to the producer and talking about all those great actors, and it was fun.
That's what I love about live television.
We're back. Sorry about that.
Welcome back. No, I had a chance to chat with my friend Mary. It was nice.
And Craig, if you ever want to cast me, season 7.
Well, you know what? This is what I was trying to prevent with Mary. You never know, Mary. Very nice to meet you. So,
nice to meet you.
Getting back to Time Crafters a little bit. So, Quiver Distribution has taken it out on Friday, and we can show you the platforms. There's about 7 or 8 platforms that Quiver's taken it out. They're a great distribution company. And then Foreign, Voltage is taking it out Foreign for us too. So, like I said, we're excited about this whole opportunity.
I think the listeners are going to want to know a little bit about the plot of the movie. I think it's a fantastic idea, and it's way overdue.
Why don't you say a little bit, then I'll say a little bit.
It's a mix between Goonies and Back to the Future. This is time travel, and it's the kids. Apparently, the ensemble is amazing. So
yes.
But I don't really know the plot because I haven't seen it yet. So that's as much as I can.
Well,
talk about.
What it is, it's like these two pirate ships, Captain Lynch, Pistol, and a few other pirates come through time travel. They get ported into time through the awesome time machine that we have that was on one of the ships, comes to modern day, and they end up in beautiful Mendocino, California, which is the Pirate's Cove.
Which is where all time travelers wind up.
Right. And so then, you know, through the whole thing, they're trying to find the treasure. The kids got the map, they got their gadgets, and they're always trying to find. And then the pirates with Eric Balfour and everybody are trying to figure out where it's at. And it's just a great little, it moves really quick, and it just moves on from like one story to the other. But most of all, it's very exciting because the kids are just always looking for the treasure. And then you have a lot of, you got some comedy involved, which is really good with the actors. So everybody's going to love it. It's a great little fun family movie that the whole family can watch.
And it's overdue. There hasn't been anything like Goonies since Goonies. And I always wondered at the end of Goonies, by the way, where the ship is sailing away, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, it's gone. I'm like, no, get a motorboat. Go out and get it. It's right there. Why? They're all like, oh, it's so sad. All that treasure's gone. I'm like, I would have been after that thing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What? Kevin, what did that happen? Can you explain that to me?
This is Goonies Mystery Theater, Danny. You decide what happens.
You know, also, Dan, I need to give a couple more shout-outts.
Me?
No, I'm going to. I want to give a shout-out because, listen, our crew was unbelievable. Our crew worked day and night to make this all happen. I want to talk about April, our makeup and hair, Brianna, our makeup and hair, and also, and I know I'm going to forget a lot of people, our costume designer. She was amazing.
This is also his Oscar speech.
Yes. And play
the music, baby. Play the music. Yes.
I just want the crew to know that Rick and I are so appreciative of you. And we just want to give you mega shout outs. And also to the co-stars, Maddie, a bunch of the co-stars that were in there did a fantastic job. And I also put my niece in the movie.
Really?
Put my niece Malik in the movie. She came out with her family for 4 days.
How old is your niece?
My niece is in her early 30s, and she was in the movie.
So she was one of the kids.
No, exactly. So yeah, just we're excited. We're so excited. We got a lot of buzz and a lot of this happening.
It sounds like you've got a hit on your hands. You've got a talented cast. You've got a story that's interesting and hasn't been done in a while. And it seems like, this particular show, notwithstanding, you're on a lot of big shows to promote it.
We are. And also our manager, we talked about, this is a possibility. Stay tuned about a possibility of a TV series.
Oh, nice. That is.
Yeah.
Acting resume in your pocket.
Sorry, Danny, you don't cut it.
I can't act, Craig.
I can be the lead kid grown up.
Feel free not to use me. That's okay.
Can we talk about your other movie?
Let's talk about the one I just finished.
Okay.
All right. So I just finished a movie in March called Monstrous.
Yes.
It's a sci-fi thriller set in the 50s. And
nice.
It's done. And the lead actress is Christina Ricci. And she is just top notch.
Who he's going to hook me up with at some point.
No, I'm not. Danny, please go to the timeout chair. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, we shot that. And Robert Yoakam, the main producer, is my friend. And we've done a couple movies together. And we shot it here in LA. And, during this COVID thing, we worked around all that. But, yeah, we got it in the can, and it's going to come out next year, but I'm excited.
Well, COVID screwed up the production, three times?
Two times, but, that's just precautionary.
Right,
you know
right, I mean? Right, right.
Yeah, but we got it in the can, and I have to give Robert Yoakam credit. He persevered with the crew and made this all happen.
So. Dude, that trailer is sick. Is that trailer available yet or not?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
I'm on the in crowd. You guys can't see it.
Yeah, we're excited about it. And then two other movies, one that we're looking at right now, putting together to shoot in Oklahoma. And that's going to be with my good friend, Michael DeBacco. Michael is the owner of Michael's on Riverside and the Red Door.
I love Michael. He's a great guy. Guys, if you're ever in Toluca Lake, which is really basically the edge of Burbank.
Yeah.
Check out Michael's restaurant. The owner is Michael. He's a wonderful guy. He's from my hometown. You know, that's why we're pretty good friends. And I met you through Michael.
Yeah.
And then I introduced you to these people here, and hopefully we got this other project we can't even say anything about, right?
Yeah, it's huge, but it's exciting because we got the director that wants to come on board.
Oh my God.
It sounds like you have a lot going on all the time, but do you have a favorite phase? Do you like, when the script is coming together? Do you like when the cast is coming together? Do you like when the movie's about to hit the theaters? What's your favorite phase of producing? I'd say
the beginning favorite phase is when the money comes in.
Right. That's the favorite.
That's the first favorite phase when we got the money in escrow, we're ready to go.
Show me the money business. Yeah. I like it.
That, and then of course my other's like it's casting. I mean, it's just to be able to cast the right people for the project is you don't get that all the time, but you get what you can. But if you can, it's just like magic, just like Time Crafters. We had a magic cast. So yeah, cast is the other thing.
Yeah, well, the thing is that's the thing we're working toward right now is casting who we want.
Yeah.
And making great films with ideas and purpose and, to be of service and, to make people escape from reality. Right.
Right. I mean, I could tell you this other show, it's an urban family comedy, and it's a show dog that gets lost in the hood.
Oh, you can say that?
I can say that. Okay. I can say that. And it's just like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then it tugs on your heartstrings with the kids and the parents, and it's just going to be a fun little another family comedy.
I can just say that we met with a director that was amazing.
Yeah.
What did he need me for?
We don't need to say that anymore. But anyway,
I thought you were flirting with me there.
No.
Just nod enthusiastically, Danny.
So another thing you can get find Time Crafters on Instagram. Instagram called Time Crafters Movie. So if you go to Time Crafters Movie on Instagram, you'll be able to see what's going on.
Yeah. Okay?
Very nice.
I don't know if you know this, but we met probably 2 years ago.
Danny, I really don't care.
And you? No, I know you don't.
Anyway, go ahead.
It only feels like 10.
Right. No, but it was like 2 years ago.
Where did we meet?
Michael introduced us like 2 years ago, but it wasn't until more recently, the last year, where I bumped into you and I was just like, I'm having drinks. I'm like, I don't care. I'm just joking around with everybody. And we hit it off as buddies. We just started joking around and dude, he's funny. He's funny.
Well, we didn't really hit it off. I've just felt sorry for you the whole time.
I'm blackmailing him to get him on the show today. I can't tell you why.
It sounds like this is how he does his acting. He pretends to like us.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I won't have any leverage if I tell you what I'm blackmailing him about, but come on, he's one of the biggest people we've had on the show. You really think he came here without like strong arming?
Well, give him his pictures back. Craig, do you find the acting background helps you with the other parts that you're involved with, like dealing with the actors, putting the casting together? Well, do you rely on that?
Let me answer this. No.
So the thing about it is, you know, by being on set before, as I was coming up as an actor, by being on the set, seeing the set, learning the set, of course, that just helps out. When you have more experience, it just makes your decision making easier for things. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, that happened. Also, I'm giving shout outs because I need to. I want to give a shout out to Nebraska Coast Connection. They've been a supporter of me for the whole 20 years, and Todd Nelson is just a great guy. So shout out to that. I want to give a shout out to Lori Richards back in Lincoln, Nebraska, who's Nebraska film officer. She's supported me this whole time and all that. And then to my friends back in Dewey's, Nebraska, 60 people, two bars and a post office.
Oh, I love that.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
I want to give a shout out to Ducat, which is Black Shirt Liquor. And and to my family. And also I want to give a shout out to Floyd, who's not feeling well. Get better, buddy. We love you.
That's right. By the way, Craig just had a no? Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Orgasm, I was going to say, but that's okay.
No. So, So I'm just excited to be here, guys.
He's a great guy.
Danny, please, shut up. Okay?
That's funny.
All right. Anyway, I really appreciate you allowing me to be here tonight and promoting our movie.
Where can people find stuff? Let's tell them.
Can you bring it up that I showed you where it's at? Remember, I gave
Yes. Yeah, we got a picture.
Yeah, bring that up real quick.
We got a picture that I said the different platforms that the movie's there.
Yeah,
we go.
Bring it up. Yeah, just so DirecTV, Amazon, Dish, Google, iTunes, Vudu, Cox, Verizon, Microsoft, and also Fandango. Fandango's on there too.
Very okay, nice. Cool. So they can find it after Friday.
Starting on Friday.
Friday.
Starting on Friday, yeah.
Starting on Friday. All right, well, we're going to have all this stuff in the links for the show, after the show. And now we're going to do our segment. By the way, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
Absolutely.
I love you, man.
I appreciate it, man.
I love this guy.
Absolute pleasure having you, Craig.
Thank you, sir. Very nice to meet you.
I think you can hang if you want, but I know he's got some stuff to do.
Yeah, I got to take off, but I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, bye. Thank you very much, Craig, and hopefully we see you again soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, you will. You will.
Take care.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Nice job.
Thanks, man.
Okay, let's do it.
What are your favorite trauma movies?
Dude, he must have seen another segment of mine. He's like, I'm out. I'm gone.
Apparently, he took Danny with him.
Yeah. How are you? Nice to meet
Very
you.
Well.
Hi. I'm Mary Kennedy. Nice to
Hello,
meet you.
Anthony Sant'Anselmo. Good to digitally meet you.
Yes, excellent.
Nice interview, by the way. Nice interview.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So, Well, I got to tell you that background. I'm very envious because I feel like this is the place everyone goes to but me. The background that you have, Mary, because Kevin frequented that joint many a times, and I'm like, I'm not a member.
Well, it's in Van Nuys, if that helps you. It's in Absolutely. Van Nuys.
You mean it's Lake Balboa?
Lake Balboa, excuse me.
Yeah,
it's Sherman Oaks adjacent.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. I'm back.
Hello, sir. How are you? How are you?
Good, good.
So
that's the problem when you don't have a studio and you set up haphazardly, your guest trips over the camera.
That was great.
And
it was great. So management had a long talk with me. They're tired of busting out sleeping bags when I do my segment. So I'm going to try to make this quick. Okay. So trauma movies.
Wait, Kevin, why are you telling people your management now?
Because, Danny, that's my thing.
Brought
that's
to you by.
My thing that I do.
Sorry. Go ahead, Anthony. Sorry.
Not a problem. Not a problem. So trauma. Basically, if you're ever watching a movie and you see this before the movie starts, you know you're in for some shit. Okay, you know it's going to have a lot of TNA, gore. It's not going to be a great script. The acting is probably going to be very subpar. Basically, it's going to be a really fun time. Yeah. So Troma was founded in 1974 by Lloyd Kaufman and Michael Hertz. There's good old Uncle Lloyd. And they started out making a bunch of sex comedies in the 70s. And very prolific team, these two. But it wasn't until 1984 where the Toxic Avenger hit the scene. Now, this was rated X before rated X was rated X. So, you know, there's no NC-17. NC-17 came out in 87, I think, for RoboCop. Because they were these films that were tired of, like, getting that, you know, dreaded X rating. So, but yeah, this is basically a rated X film. It's super hardcore. It totally holds up. I saw this when I was 11, when my parents went for their, I think, 20th high school reunion. Side note, my mom was very strict and religious, so she wouldn't let me rent shit. But my dad would be like, whatever. So I knew they were going to their reunion. And I'm like, Dad, can you rent me some flicks? And he's like, sure. I had a stack of trauma movies. Basically, it was my vision quest at age 11. Okay. Let's cycle through this if we can. Yeah, so this is a scene that really jacked me up. And there's a lot of reasons for why I have this going behind me because of this film. Basically, there's a scene where the antagonists, they hit and run people. They kill people for points. Just a side game they do. And they see this young kid named Skippy, of course, who's on a bike. And he's riding along, and they see him, and they're like, hey, how you doing, Skippy, so on and so forth. And then they basically speed in front of him, flip a bitch, and proceed to, if we can cycle through the photos, proceed to mow him over. And the stunt is so incredible. I haven't seen a stunt this badass since that movie. Okay?
Wow.
But he's not dead yet, so he reverses over his skull, and that's where I became a man. Okay? Dude, this is hardcore. I was like 11 years old, like, what? And the editing is so tight that it's brutal. Okay. So I even asked him, I'm like, do you want to show this graphic? So basically, you know, the gals are taking Polaroids because this is how they get off. This is Toxic Avenger. This is really the start of trauma. Okay. Oh, so every film beyond this is going to have that energy. Moving forward. They had a series of sequels, 2, 3, and 4. And let's just hang out there for a minute. Basically, the plot, because I kind of overlooked it, of the Toxic Avenger is the 98-pound nerd falls in a vat of toxic waste. And that's the theme of Troma's basically foundation. Okay? He falls in a vat of toxic waste and he becomes that guy. First superhero of New Jersey. Sorry, I kind of glossed over that. I wanted to talk about the bike killing scene.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. So, and there's that poltergeist again. Where's the poltergeist chilling with me again? Toxic Avenger's badass, super gory, totally fun. Moving forward, and you guys have any opinions of this? Have you heard of this?
I have a question.
Please.
Can I ask a question?
You can ask 100.
So here's my question: are they violent, or is there sex as well? Is there a movie? Are they one movie's just really sexy and porny, and then another one's violent, or is the violent and the sex and all that mishmashed all together?
With Toxic Avenger, which is literally, I think, the starting point of all of it. So it's a genre blender.
Right.
But they started doing like sex comedies in the 70s and early 80s. And while they were successful, I guess Lloyd had other aspirations within him. And he's been working outside. This is one of the oldest, next to Corman, of course, independent B-movie companies of all time. And yeah, so, but basically, yeah, it's a super B movies, horror comedies. absolute exploitation, heavy on the whatever it is, sex, gore. They're just tripling down on all of it.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I was saying. When you see that skyscraper spotlight intro, you're like, okay, here we go. Here we go. All right, all right.
Yeah. They don't want to be. They don't want to be pigeonholed for a.
So if my son is watching this, I should be concerned. He's 12. Should I be concerned?
As an 11-year-old who saw it, I should have had a little more guidance. Okay. Maybe watch it first and then make
and make the decision. All right.
Yeah, and the cool thing is some of these movies are actually on YouTube, so you can watch it at like 2 times the speed to kind of like get through it. They don't quite sound like chipmunks, but you can get through a 90-minute movie in like 60 minutes while you're folding laundry. So you know, that's a good way of doing a little PC parental control.
Yeah, so, and my husband would be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Nothing.
I'm speed watching."
I'm speed watching.
What? Yeah. So this is they found their formula. So moving on, this Class of Nukem High. This movie is fucking rad. Pardon my language. Again, it's the whole toxic waste thing. Basically, students smoke pot that's been laced, or actually, it's a contamination spill from a nuclear power plant right next to the high school that like you know infiltrates the pot plants, and the honor students become the cretins. So it's reading, writing, and radiation is the plot of the film. Yeah. And the effects are great, just like the effects in Toxic Avenger 1, 2, and so on and so forth are great. I think this was a co-direction. This was a co-direction. Lloyd Kaufman, I think Richard Haynes directed this one. But it's badass. And it's all practical effects, of course. And it's super punk rock. Anybody remember this one?
86. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a goodie. Moving forward. And as you can imagine, there's a sequel with a killer squirrel.
you can't leave an audience dangling with what's going to happen after Class of Nukem High. You can't do that.
You know, I got to say, I don't want to cheat the audience here. I cheated the graphic, but there are more Class of Nukem Highs. There's a third. Sure. There it is again. Yeah, and there's a return to Class of Nukem High, and then there's a return to the Class of Nukem High, so you can see where they're going. Yeah.
They always do sequels with great movies.
Yes, yes, and indeed.
And also some of those.
And so, exactly. I'm going to take a pause break. This one's actually, the next movie is not funny. Now, you might think it would be with that kind of, like, you know, imagery. That's all marketing right there. Surf Nazis Must Die. Roger Ebert actually enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, wow, that's very cool. Because, you know, he was very kind of more highbrow. Oh,
that's hysterical.
Yeah, no, it's a great soundtrack.
Are you serious?
Well, yeah. No, he liked it.
He liked it? No, really?
He totally liked it.
You know, they're surf Nazis. They're keeping the salt water out of the weaponry. That's not as easy as it sounds.
Well, the interesting thing about this movie is I believe it was distributed by Troma. So it was a different feature that Troma had acquired. And the cool thing is basically it's a straightforward picture. Long story short, California has an earthquake and then surf Nazis are trying to, you know, seize the beaches with other surf rival gangs. And there's an oil worker nearby who just happens to be killed. And his name is Leroy, and his mom, Mama Washington, breaks out of retirement. Okay, this is where it becomes like almost blaxploitation genre, but it's like a genre blend. It's a Nazi exploitation, blaxploitation. It's just fucking Troma. That's why they picked it up. And so she breaks out of retirement home with handguns and grenades and fucking takes out the whole team. Spoiler alert. Wow. It's awesome. And she's like in her 60s and bad. It's so good. A lot of people say, fuck this movie, but I'm like, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Look at the title.
They're just wrong. That's what's going on.
But it's just like, if you want to like see, you know, people get their comeuppance, this is the movie. Moving forward.
Would you consider Sharknado a trauma movie?
I would say it's definitely, in the wheelhouse. I think please.
Sharknado is the worst of all these movies. It is. It's the worst.
These are bad movies.
It is. I watched.
You know, not everybody knows the backstory to surf Nazis. They had
it was torture
Nazis,
watching that movie. The only reason
jet ski
I watched
Nazis.
It,
the small rowboat Nazis.
Yeah, I feel like Waterworld, like with the smokers, kind of like that was their inspiration, right? Well, the other one with surf Nazis. But yeah, I mean, like, I think Sci-Fi Channel kind of built their own trauma type library, you know?
Right.
And they knew what was campy and cheesy and obviously what brought eyeballs. And they quadrupled and beyond downed on it. So, yeah, I think trauma probably, I hate to say it, I think the price tag was probably too high. And unless it was like a sci-fi produced film, so it was always internal.
Right.
You ain't gonna budge out of that. So anyway, Redneck Zombies is literally the first feature-length videotape film. So it was shot on a damn camcorder, okay? Yeah. And move over, Steven Soderbergh, with Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Check this out. Yeah, so when I saw this, this poster as a kid, I'm like, man, I can't go wrong. This is incredible. You know, it promised, it was rated R. It promised, you know, good-looking gals and dumb idiots that are zombies and gore. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm 10. So, yeah, or whatever. And, yeah, basically, this is why it's a trauma film. Radioactive.
What was the budget on that?
Budget on this was nothing.
What was
so? Yeah, this was literally distributed by Troma. So somebody shot this and Troma acquired it.
Their capital was badass.
Okay.
No, but the gore was so fantastic that the director went on to work.
That's the next movie, Kevin.
The end. No, go back, please. I swear, I don't want to break out the sleeping bags yet. But the director who did this film, the special effects were so good because he almost did everything on this because it was a no-budget film. And he went on, he was picked up by Lloyd Kaufman to work on Toxic Avenger 2, 3 to do special effects for other films because he was just so good. So the movie is not good. There's a certain type of charm to it, and the effects are actually like, oh my gosh, how do they achieve that with like 2 cents? Literally like no budget. So it's if you want to see something that's kind of stomach churning, a little charming, quite bad, and super shot on VHS tape that's feature length, I mean, bam, Redneck Zombies. In fact, the poster is the best thing about the whole film. The end. You're probably gonna fucking all leave me after this one. Okay. So this movie's rad. Okay. Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD. Okay. This guy's a cop in New York and he's like investigating a string of amateur kabuki, you know, actor murders or whatever the fuck. And he actually becomes cursed or blessed, as they say, with the power to turn into a kabuki. Okay. Straight up. Okay. And he's got the power of heat seeking chopsticks. Right. To take out the thugs in Central Park or wherever the fuck. And he's got like, you know, Fatal Sushi and so on and so forth and flying footwear. And it's crazy. So it's pretty fucking bad. So if you're, you know, if you got some takeout and you're like, you know what, I'm not sure what I want to do with my life. That's what you want to do with your life right there. The
looks like,
end.
Looks like they, that's where they got the idea.
By the way,
Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it came after. Sadly,
yeah. That guy looked like a real thug.
I gotta tell you what I
real thug too.
What I don't like about this segment is it's so cheesily obscure that there's less chime-ins. It's not like I'm like, hey, remember Michael Keaton and Mr. Mom? And everyone's like, yeah. There's none of that. Moving forward. Vegas in Space.
We like it.
God bless you. We're wrapping up here. So Vegas in Space is a film. I grew up in LA, so I always had the LA Weekly. And as a kid, I would go to the movie section. And I was always taken to the midnight movies because I'm like, that's where trauma is. That's where like the, you know, forbidden shit. Again, I'm a kid. So I saw this thing, Vegas in Space. I'm like, that's a punk rock title. I like this shit. This shit's rad. I had no idea, you know, what the film was about. So I actually, because I was a kid who made short films, mostly zombie and cannibal films per what you just witnessed in terms of my ingestion.
Are you a cannibal?
Negative. But thank you for asking. So I actually made Vegas in Space 2 in my bedroom with a Nine Inch Nails soundtrack. Because why? No one's going to flag me for copyright violation. This is 1990. Okay. Yeah. So it was rad. And anyway, so it was a good time. And then I actually saw the film years later. I'm like, oh, this is what it's about. So basically, it's a super drag film. And the film was shot in a San Francisco apartment with miniatures. Wow. Yeah.
You made yours with the same budget.
I made, yeah, but mine was like 6 minutes. Theirs was like 7 minutes. Yeah. And they had a little bit more like audaciousness than I did. But anyway, so I finally watched it and I appreciate it for what it is. It's got a charm. It's not fantastic, but like you can't deny like just that drive of a filmmaker despite all odds, against all odds. So I actually reached out to the director feeling nostalgic like 10 years ago. And I told him, hey, I made Vegas in Space 2 when I was a little kid, and blah, 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 blah. I just want to say, hope you're well in the world, whatever the fuck. And he's like, oh, thanks for reaching out. Nobody ever talks about this movie. I appreciate it. He goes, I'm going to send you a poster. I'm like, what? And he's like, I only had 150 posters made, and a lot of them were damaged in a water damage in my public storage. But he goes, I'll get one for you. So he sent me one. Oh, and if you look, nice. Hold on. There's a letter in the frame from the director.
Yep.
Yeah, saying, you know, thank you again for reaching out. Thanks for showing interest, blah, 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 blah. Hope you're well. And I was like, oh, that's super cool. The end.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I would like to say the end in terms of the segment, but it's not. We're going to keep going. Bust out the sleeping bags and pajamas. Romeo and Juliet. So James Gunn, the writer-director of Slither and Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, so on and so forth, like he's gone on to a very good career. I think the next Suicide Squad, as a matter of fact. He wrote this. So this is a punk rock Shakespeare iteration of Romeo and Juliet. And it's badass. It's definitely weird as shit moving forward. Okay, so this is Trey Parker and Matt Stone's first feature film. And I brought this up in the segment before. And Yeah. So they tried to shop this around once they made this in Colorado, and then they moved to California and they shopped it around big time, because I think they had a little heat from their short film, Jesus versus Spirit of Christmas, not Spirit of Christmas, the other one.
Santa Claus, Jesus versus.
No, not Jesus versus Frosty. I forget what it was called. There was two of them. There was the Spirit of Christmas and the one before it. I should know this. But anyway, so they shopped it around everywhere, and it was basically called unwatchable by most of the studios. Yeah, like they didn't want anything to do with it. They had no interest that kids made a feature film, okay? Because at the time, this is like 94. At the time, only Rodriguez did that, okay? Right. Robert Rodriguez for El Mariachi. So, and then Kevin Smith was right there on the cusp for Clerks. But it was unwatchable. Once South Park hit, I should back up. Troma picked it up because they enjoyed it. They totally picked it up for acquisitions, and they put it out. They changed the title from Alfred Packer, the musical, to Cannibal, the musical, because the film is about Colorado folklore or history of a cannibal named Alfred Packer. Long story short, once South Park came out, every studio contacted their agent saying they wanted to release Cannibal and praising how watchable it was.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so Troma was there for them, and they've been very supportive of Troma, just as James Gunn has in his career over the years. So there's that. And if you haven't seen it, it's totally worth it. And you can see the seedlings of brilliance, if I may. The end. Anybody awesome. Seen that one?
No. Nope.
Danny, you have to see that one because you're pals with Dean.
I know. I got to check. Oh, Dean was in that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's why on the past few segments, when I bring up Cannibal, and especially the Dean Bahar one, for my Christmas segment, I'm like, anyway, he's in it. You should watch it.
I'm gonna message him right after the show.
We got two left, and we're done. God bless you for hanging on for this. I wish there was more feedback. Like, these are really obscure ass movies, so you're just kind of like hanging on. When is this ride over? God bless. This is one of the later Troma films. At this point, almost 20 years ago. It's about a low-budget film crew in New York. Lloyd Kaufman, not only the director, he plays – it's a movie within a movie. So it's about a low-budget film crew, as I mentioned. And he's the director in the film, but he's a blind director. So there's that. And it's about a sexually conflicted serial killer who you're not sure who's who on set killing the set members. Oh. And it's pretty punk rock and fun and gory, and you kind of the poster's selling it.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. They're killing people on the set of a movie?
Yeah, on a set of a movie that's killing people.
And but they still keep doing the movie.
Sure, because, you know,
the show must
that's Hollywood. That's Hollywood. Okay.
Safety first, make a good movie. Whatever the fuck.
No, make a good movie first, safety second.
Oddly enough, not in this. Well, that's the comedy because everybody's getting fucked up hard, like obliterated.
I love it. I love it. I think we can make it better. We can redo it and steal it and name it something way different.
I got to be honest. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling this film. But, you know,
it could be a Dateline episode. I love Dateline.
Which one? With Chris Hansen. They're all like creepily enjoyable. Like, yeah, fuck you. You're going to prison.
You're trying to guess all the way through the thing. Did he do it? Did she do it? Who is it? You know?
Yeah, no, the movie's it's well made. It's just like it's got to be your cup of tea if you're getting into it. But it's very almost ska, you know, like music wise, like upbeat. And it's got some of that music in the background, too. So it's energetic. And it's just but it is a bad film. So
what type of killing does the serial killer do?
Spoiler alert. Axe.
Okay. No.
An accident where a Fresnel light destroys somebody and hits somebody in the face and burns them alive. And
oh.
Yeah, and then it gets real bizarre, like because I don't want to reveal the identity of the serial killer, but they're
no, because everybody's going to be watching this.
But they're I just mean like what they got going on. But anyway, moving forward. Last but not least, Poltergeist. Boom.
Yes!
Not Poltergeist.
This is fantastic.
Have you heard of this one?
I just love it. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. So right there, you get the general comedy that may not have come through in some of the other titles I told you, but that's the heart of all the movies I talked about, for sure. And this is a musical.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So I think this came out.
You got a killer chicken. You're going to have to have music.
Yeah, so a bunch of employees that work at a fast food joint realize that it's built upon a burial ground, and the chickens that they're killing start killing them.
Love it.
And like there's songs in it.
I like the idea of opening the oven to check on the chicken and it shoots you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for sure.
Stuff like that. That's what I'm envisioning.
Oh, I love it. 100%. And that's what this film is. And you can't help if you watch South Park at all or you're familiar with Matt and Trey's work. You can't help but feel there's almost nods to their work in this movie because it just feels almost South Parkian, the musical side of it. So, but it's pretty good. So check it out. And gory as shit. So check it out. At the end of the day, Lloyd Kaufman still makes movies and he is just still kicking ass. I think he's about 75 years old, but he's not slowing down anytime soon. The end.
That's awesome.
Yes. Great.
That was my shortest segment ever.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was That's great. It was great. We ended under an hour and a half. Guys, please support. Look at the bottom of the screen. anchor.fm/thedannymcdermottshow/support. We need your help, guys. We're actually, 80th on iTunes, and we just got onto iTunes, right?
That is correct. Number 79 is sweating their ass off.
Oh, yeah. They are terrified.
No question. We're right behind them, breathing on their neck.
Yeah, 79 is my other podcast where I just talk about trauma. I'm like, shit. I don't know.
Well, you be prepared to be number 80 soon.
Wait till I talk about terms of endearment for an hour. You're fucked.
don't even get me started about spot 69. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching the show. We love you. I'm sorry about my spotty internet, but thank God it didn't happen during the most of it. Guys, please tell your friends, tune back in. We're going to be making a lot of big connections right now, and this show is going ballistic. So thank you guys so much. Have a great night.
Thank you for coming, Mary. M. Kennedy.
My pleasure.
Credits.
Be well.
Yes, thank you, Mary. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
Nope.
Blah, 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 blah.